Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Spain, Bradley Burrows, and guests.
Welcome to this episode 21 of the NZ Tech Podcast. I'm here at the Microsoft Worldwide Partners Conference in Los Angeles. I'm Paul Spain.
I'm Bradley Burrows, and we want to thank Microsoft for bringing us over to the conference, the WPC, to report back to you all on the events that are going on in the partner community. And we're going to give you an update on day two on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, so it's Tuesday here in Los Angeles. We've just come from the keynote session. Again, as per yesterday, you'll notice a lot of background noise. We've tried to find a gap away from that, but it's a pretty busy conference. There's apparently about 15,000 people here, so we've just come from the keynote this morning, and so we're in a pretty large stadium. Which stadium was that, Brad?
It's the Staples Center, where the Los Angeles Lakers play. So we were lucky this morning to get down with the media right down up and close this morning, and we got a really good view of what was being said and spoken and some of the devices that were being shown this morning.
Yeah, there were definitely some cool gadgets to be seen. They showed off some new Windows Phone 7 handsets that haven't been shown off publicly before. There was a bunch of new Windows 7 laptop slates, various other devices as well, so that was great to see.
Yeah, they also went through some of the new products that are going on at the moment, especially on the Windows Server side. Satya Nadella talked around some of the new System Center 2012 products, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and also some of the new cloud services along with CRM. So for partners out there, it was really, really interesting to see a lot of the tools that are coming out, and I got really excited by seeing how some of these tools are now enabling partners to manage private and public clouds and pull that together in one area. We'll go into that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and again, this podcast is aimed primarily at the partner community and the tech industry again, but I'm sure there'll be others that will find some interesting snippets in our discussions. So feel free to listen in. Although this is in our normal sort of weekly podcast format, if you're looking out for that and hearing all of the latest sort of broad gadget news and so on across a range of vendors and products, and we'll be coming back with you with that in our next full-blown episode next week. But getting into the content, there was a bit of stuff shown off with the new SQL Server 2012, or we don't know what that's going to be called officially, but the Denali codename released, didn't we?
Yeah, look, this is as people know, I obviously work for Microsoft, and one of my peers, Karina Oliver, she's actually the SQL product manager for New Zealand, and she's been very excited about this product for partners for quite a while now. Couldn't quite get it. I get it today. This thing was stunning. What it really does is pull together for partners to implement really simple BI solutions with really rich data. But the key thing that I really took away from watching the demonstration was actually that you can now pull in third-party data sources from the cloud, from the Azure cloud, and pull it in. And the demonstration they did gave very rich enterprise tools for partners to deliver to anyone, any of their partners, small, medium enterprises, right through. And that was really powerful, simple. And Denali was really, really nice. I really get it now.
Yeah, and it's definitely, some of you will find it interesting to watch the video of that keynote as well. One of the things they showed off was this PowerPoint-like front end in terms of just how easy it was to access some of the business intelligence capabilities in Denali. That stuff looks really good, and I think being able to just enable everyday office users and so on to be able to get in, pull out that information, display it, animate it, with a sort of set of tools that they're already familiar with, I guess. There's nothing too scary about the front end where you compare it to using PowerPoint and other sorts of tools. So that was cool.
Yeah, I know. I think it's building on the Power Pivot that they've had in Office 2010, and this is that sort of next iteration, but built into the database side. For partners, I think they've got a great opportunity there to be able to deliver those enterprise features, like I said earlier. And it was really rich, and it was a very simple way of doing it. So
in the demonstration that was shown, they were showing off sales of particular types of vehicles, and in the graph you got to a certain point and saw how the sales of hybrid vehicles had really taken off at this particular point in time. And then they demonstrated, that's good, but what's the reasoning behind it? And so then they went and they pulled in this third-party data source through an online source. Is that from the Azure Marketplace?
Yeah, and that was something that for me, I hadn't heard a lot about the Azure Marketplace. There's a lot of ISVs that are developing applications that they're putting in there. I mean, some of the numbers they talked about were there was one partner that put in an Azure Marketplace app, and I think he said they made $300,000 in the first quarter by just having that app up in the Azure Marketplace.
That's quite interesting. And in that particular demo, that you know, where they were trying to work out why there had been this trend upwards in the hybrid vehicles, then they pulled in this other data source which showed petrol prices over the period, and you could see that the sales of particular types of vehicles, 4x4s and the hybrids were directly tied to what was going on with the price of petrol in the region at the time. So I can see that being really interesting.
So Paul, we've just come back from the server presentation that we attended about 5 minutes ago. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, that was really interesting. And you know, the thing we heard up front was we're going to hear a little bit about the Windows Server 8 or Windows Server 2012, whatever they're going to call it, but the next version of Windows Server. And yeah, they're really keeping the lid on this, I have to say. They didn't let a whole lot out of the bag, but they said, look, we're going to tell you about one out of, you know, 100 or more new features, and the one feature they talked about sounded pretty cool.
Well,
actually,
they showed us, didn't they? Actually,
yeah, action. Yeah, they showed us the process to set this up. Now, of course, when you're in a demo room and you know they're doing that sort of thing, they don't necessarily talk about all of the complexities and the technical challenges associated maybe with this new feature. But what they showed off was a capability called Hyper-V Replica. And what it does is it creates a full replication of a virtual machine sort of on the fly. So you can say, look, I want to replicate this server to this other server, and that can be a server that's on your local LAN, on your local network somewhere, or it can actually be at a remote location. And
ooh,
so
the cloud, they did say, as a cloud.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, such as a cloud.
Yep.
And so you could say, well, look, every hour, and I'm not sure, and I'll have to look through the video on it again to capture what those time intervals are that you can set. You can set a regular replication type cycle, so that off-site you will always have a live copy of the server in question that you've chosen to replicate, which sounds great.
Yeah, and one of the other features was that it was really customizable around this feature as well, because you could actually say, well, hold the last 3 days and then archive the other four. It allowed you time intervals and everything like that, but it was hardware agnostic. So they've stated, and we've got it on video, that it can go to any hardware, any SAN, across any NIC, across any WAN. And that was really impressive that they've abstracted themselves from that hardware layer. So pretty much he held up a bit of Ethernet. He said, all you need is the server and Ethernet and your destination point, and they can replicate.
Sure.
It.
So in a WAN scenario, it's going to vary according to how much bandwidth you've got, right? And I guess that's obviously the case. So there's a bit there we're going to have to learn more about in time. They did also show off another feature in terms of the number of virtual CPUs that are supported.
Yep.
Currently on Hyper-V, how many is that that's
8.
Supported?
Yeah. It's a maximum of 8.
Yeah. So they showed it off running 16 virtual CPUs, but our impression is that that's going to be considerably higher. They didn't make a formal announcement on just how high that will go, but you know that's really positive for really high end systems that you'll be able to support a whole heap of virtual CPUs in a machine. So you know in a situation where you've got a server with a lot of cores, then you can dedicate those to individual VMs if you wish to.
Yeah, so. Look, I see this being a real benefit for partners and hosters that have wanted to build up those huge server clusters. Eight CPUs was just a joke, considering some of the Microsoft software required 16 CPUs, like Link Server, for instance. So, yeah, it's the ability now to actually meet the competition, but I think partners and hosters are going to get the best benefit out of it, as well as IT pros being able to scale out these giant server farms. So that looked really good. The other one that I really liked as well was they showed us Virtual Machine Manager 2012, and that looks stunning.
Yeah.
Really stunning. So what that will enable you to do, similar to what we talked about before with the App Center stuff, will allow you to manage your virtual environments, both public and private, but also fully integrated into VMware as well. So you can now manage the latest version of VMware, and you can provision, you can start up, you can choose a VMware cluster. It almost sits now above the hypervisor layer and just basically says, look, we'll manage anything, Citrix, VMware, or Microsoft.
Yeah, it's quite agnostic to what that platform is. But you've got one UI that actually works across the whole lot.
What do they call it? One pane of glass.
Yeah.
That was their term, one pane of glass.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before, but it did look good though, and some of their the sort of templating capabilities as well in terms of having pre-configured sort of Microsoft best practice scenarios that you could roll out. Some of that templating stuff looked really cool, and I guess we'll find out a lot more about that over the next little while as well.
Yeah. Now we also saw SQL Denali, which we got a preview this morning. They went into a little bit more depth today. What really sort of got you going about that? Because you were quite excited about that after we finished.
Yeah, well SQL Denali looks really cool. That's actually available now for download in Technology Preview 3, I believe. So, yeah, one of the things there was real high availability with this always-on capability. And the way they showed that, or the way they talked about it, was effectively say in an environment you've just got a single SQL box today, you found it too complex to handle the traditional replication capabilities. With this always on functionality, it's going to be much easier to replicate to another box. And we don't really know all the ins and outs of how that will happen and how that compares with, say, one at the hypervisor type layer that they're offering there in Server 2012, whatever that next version is. We'll certainly be looking forward to finding out a little bit more information there as time goes on. There are a range of other features there, and there's a bit more information available online around the Denali release of SQL Server. It looked really cool. The other side there that looked great is some of the performance increases, which in some areas they're talking about a 10 times plus performance increase.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, that's really cool.
So following that, we heard a little bit about from the server and tools product manager, was it?
Yeah, no, there actually was Satana Nadal, who's actually the lead, the vice president of Windows Server and Tools, and then we had a couple of demonstrations from the System Center team. Now, later on today, we're actually going to attend a more detailed session, but what we actually saw was some really interesting stuff where the Windows Server product team, along with System Center, are actually building a new tool called System Center App Center.
Yeah, App Center. That looked really cool. Right.
Yeah. So
that sort of it creates an environment where you can manage both on-premise and cloud systems. Is that the core capability?
Yeah. Look, what it is a holistic view of your private and public cloud environments, pulls it together in one view, and you can actually deploy an application in the public cloud by hooking into, say, Azure, for instance, and actually also have some of the back end sitting in your own environment, your private cloud, and that allows you
it doesn't distinguish between public and private clouds for the infrastructure. It looks at it from one holistic view, which is going to be great for people that want to deploy applications and get the best out of the public and private cloud together. One tool, one interface, which is, I think we're going to see a lot more of that in this afternoon session.
Yeah, it sounded very interesting. I was also talking about a converged authentication model. So when you logged in, you had access to all of these different bits and pieces through one set of credentials, one user interface to do that. And yeah, you could basically build out, hey, I want to do this, and it builds up a map of how it will configure that in the best practice manner, and you push a button and deploy to cloud or on premise infrastructure, whichever you choose.
Yeah, I think that's really important to note for partners, is that when we say deploy, it actually physically goes out to Azure and will provision that service, so you can step up an environment from 4 CPUs to 6 CPUs, and it will do all that heavy lifting in the back end for the partner, which makes it a lot simpler for partners to go out and manage applications. They don't actually have to worry too much around provisioning more CPUs. It's all done, and it makes their management, if you like, of that infrastructure a lot easier. So I think that's a big win for where partners are looking to move forward, but for IT pros as well, this is going to be great to be able to pull your public and private cloud infrastructure together, which has been very fragmented up until now, I think.
Mm. And there was also some comments around the next version of Windows Server, which hasn't been announced. We had very, very little. It was very sort of scant, but there was reference to some more information on that being released today. So I guess that's the Windows Server 8, or the Windows 8 sort of the server version of that. So that's going to be very interesting to hear, and we'll certainly see what we can report back on that during the podcast. So we're going to head across and catch that information shortly. So look out for that. Now, there was a bunch of other areas that were covered during the keynote. They talked about Office, how that's now installed on a billion computers globally, and how Office 2010 is just outselling every other previous release of Office, and the deployments of it are going very, very strongly.
There was also a big talk around Exchange, how 65% of the world now runs on Exchange, and in the United States it's 73%, I think they said. So obviously there's been a big push off the Lotus Notes platform.
I think they said
22 million people.
22 million
migrations.
Yeah, users have migrated off Lotus Notes and Domino environments over the last 5 years. So that's something that continues to happen, and I think we'll see more more migration now into the cloud oriented environments, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the best things out of the Information Worker, which is the Office sessions that we saw, was Link. They demonstrated Link in various different ways, but the big one for me was they showed Link Mobile working on Windows Mobile 7. They also showed Link working on these giant touch screens that they've got there, and doing all this Bing translation. Should we talk a bit about that for a second?
And there were a whole range of things they showed off. What I liked was seeing Link, a Link video call connecting in to somebody who's sitting at home in front of their TV running an Xbox 360 with Kinect. And of course that's got its video chat capability and so on, that'll follow you around the room, does all that, but that can actually tie back into the business system as well, which is cool.
Yeah, and I think for consumers and also partners, Office 365 has Link built into the cloud. Now, whilst it doesn't have a lot of the what we call SIP trunking, so the ability to call from Link to a landline just at the moment, you still get all that video peer-to-peer capabilities and that richness that we're talking about. So for partners that are looking to get into that space but don't want to get involved in the heavy infrastructure, Office 365 is a really good way for them to actually deploy it, sell, deploy, migrate, create a services package around that, and then actually go out and get involved in that space as well.
Yeah, great way to get familiar with Link. Absolutely. Absolutely. Very easy. Now, there are a few other bits and pieces that were showed off. They were talking a lot about the cloud again today, right? A big push there. In fact, one of the things I don't know if we mentioned it yesterday, but Steve Ballmer made an interesting comment, and he said, Microsoft has never lost a deal to Google. And I thought that that was very interesting. His comment was that the customers that have gone across to Google are ones that have not engaged with Microsoft, and so that was his comment around those people that have gone and moved into the Google Google apps and Gmail within their organisations. So I thought that was interesting, and I think certainly what we're seeing with Office 365 puts Microsoft in an extremely strong position in that cloud space now. And we really saw that with some of the demos around Office 365, where we've got Link, we've got Office, we've got Exchange, we've got SharePoint, and that offering, as I guess you know, comes together really as a whole ecosystem.
Yes,
is very different from any of the other offerings that exist in the market, where you've got various vendors providing one piece or another piece, but not a fully unified and complete solution that covers all of these bases. So, yeah, that was interesting to see. They talked about some licensing changes coming through that will help customers migrate from on-premise licensing to the cloud.
Yes.
So that was helpful to hear, and I'm sure there's a lot more to hear behind the scenes on those things. So enjoyed that. And there was a discussion of the opportunities that maybe some smaller partners have to be winning. To be winning business and maybe they couldn't have in the past because the level of infrastructure and so on to deploy maybe it was beyond their capabilities, but by leveraging the cloud they were able to actually work with some of those larger customers.
Yeah, and they gave us some really good examples where small partners have actually gone out and competed in that enterprise tier one space and using the cloud to give them a competitive advantage. So it's definitely an opportunity out there. I think it's going to be a transformation. And I think partners and IT pros that wrap up a really good service packages around it will be the ones that I think will be here around in a couple of years with really good offerings.
Mm. Now, there was some talk also around Microsoft CRM, Microsoft ERP, really the Dynamics products.
Yes.
This morning, and it was highlighted that Microsoft Dynamics CRM now has 2 million users across 30,000 customers globally, and that they've seen 24 quarters of double digit growth. So obviously they're continuing to win some good increase in market share there, and with the Dynamics CRM 2011 online product, that potentially opens up things even more, because in the past Microsoft has often been ruled out where a customer's looking for a cloud CRM based solution, and they haven't had it certainly in the New Zealand market until the very recent release of CRM online.
The big thing for me was actually not around the product, but a statement that was made by the vice president of the Dynamics. I think his name is Krill. I think he's German. Was that Microsoft will be 100% on Dynamics by the end of this year. They've been migrating off Siebel, so Microsoft was a huge Siebel customer, and so Microsoft Corporation will be 100% Dynamics by the end of this year, which is, when you consider there's 120,000 people in the corporation, including contractors. Yeah, it's a big move.
That's but change, yeah.
Yeah, he also highlighted that hopefully that partners are seeing a better interaction with Microsoft employees because of they should have more rich information. So from a partner perspective, hopefully you are seeing that.
He also showed off a demo of Microsoft CRM app running on Windows Phone 7. That was interesting. It wasn't really something they announced. It was just sort of covered off in one of the demos that was being done. So I thought that was good to see. And they also talked about the Dynamics ERP products going forward will be available hosted via Azure in the cloud. So that really opens things up, because you know, deploying CRM systems can be a pretty challenging thing at any time, and by being able to leverage the cloud to do that, that sounds really good.
Yeah, and they also mentioned that it'll be part of the Office 365 package as an add-on that you'll be able to, I suppose, just add in like a multi-choice option soon as well.
Yeah.
So after that, what do we have coming up after that?
Well, we looked in and looked at some of that new hardware, and one of the very interesting things we heard was that the cost of building a smartphone, for instance, particularly the Windows phone type hardware, a smartphone at that sort of level last year cost about $400. If you just look at the pure materials required to build that, the CPU, the memory, and so on, digital camera. What was highlighted by Andy Lees was that if we look forward into next year, they're expecting that cost to build a Windows phone handset is going to be coming down to somewhere in the range of $100 to $150.
Yep.
So, you know, that may be by the end of 2012, but certainly sometime next year we're going to see. I guess that will start probably with the Mango release of new handsets that we see coming through over the next few months globally, and then we will see that those prices continue to decline over the next few years. But I mean, what we're talking about there is a cut in price. If we were to look at it in terms of what smartphones are costing in New Zealand at the moment, that are very, very feature rich, iPhone-like devices, plus all the Microsoft Office and Xbox and integrated capabilities, those are what retailing typically around $850 to $900 in New Zealand at the moment.
$699, I think. So the trophy is $699.
You can pick up things like the trophy often for in that sort of $700 price range. So I imagine what we will see is that those prices will half over the next 12 months or so. So you will be able to at some stage be seeing those devices around $300, and certainly they'll be well under the $500 mark next year I would imagine on a fairly typical basis if these numbers are right.
So one of the other things that Andy Lees talked about also was something that didn't get really a lot of publicity at CES, which is they showed off a Windows 8 motherboard which runs system on a chip, and it was the same size as a mobile phone. Mm. And this is the entire motherboard of Windows 8. So this was everything on there. You could run a full blown with Office and everything else. And what they were saying is that the convergence now of the mobile and the desktop and the hardware is actually going to be almost identical. And he answered one of the questions that a lot of people have been saying, is that why aren't they putting Windows Mobile onto a tablet? Well, the answer is that Windows 8 will become that platform, and this will just become the Windows Mobile platform will just become an extension. So they highlighted that IE9 on Mango release is actually the same IE9 that runs on the desktop. So I think you'll actually almost see, now this is a guess, is that you'll see that it'll blend together over time, and it'll be the one same operating system that will be able to run across all platforms. And that's a speculation, but that's what I think we took out of that one.
Yeah, no, it was interesting just to hear that, I guess stated, because I guess we've picked up that's the angle that Microsoft have been taking, but it's the first time it's been really clearly stated exactly what the strategy is and why. Because I think a lot of people were thinking, look, Microsoft could have released a stunning slim tablet this year based on the Windows Phone operating system. In fact, they could have launched that within months of launching Windows Phone. But clearly their strategy is to deliver something much, much more powerful than what we're seeing in that Android and iPad sort of tablet space today. So the devices that we'll see next year will be in the same form factor, in a whole range of form factors as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you will be able to do all the fancy things you can, the quick and easy things you can do on a Windows phone today, but you'll also, and on other platforms like the iPad and so on, but you'll also be able to run all your your line of business apps and any other custom bits and pieces you've got, and other apps that you've been running for a long time. So that makes some sense. I think it's frustrating for many who would love to have seen some of these super thin light devices out in the market sooner, but the strategy actually makes some sense.
Yeah, I think between just after this though, it was an interesting sort of little segue that went off to one of the partners who hadn't really at the time, he admitted, bought into the whole cloud theme, and it was really interesting to hear the partner talk around. Now he heard Steve Ballmer saying, you know, if you're not on board with us partners, then you're going to disappear, and from last year. And he didn't get it. He didn't quite understand the story. And then he was talking around how his business experience that other partners that embraced the cloud had suddenly taken business away from him.
Yeah.
And by him actually getting on board with this whole cloud idea of services, model everything, suddenly he's been able to get his business. Now, one of the key things I picked up was that he said that the deals were smaller, but they were more profitable, so that they were able to then take together all those entities and actually be profitable from that side. So I for me, that was a big win on what's going on at this point in time.
Okay, well, thanks for that. We're going to come back after some of the sessions. Cheers.
All right, we're here with Stuart Alexander from Ingram Micro. He's been here at WPC, or here for the week, and we're going to chat to him and get a little bit of a perspective on the conference from a distributor's perspective. Welcome, Stuart.
Thanks very much.
Great to have you on.
So, WPC, what has it meant to you so far?
It's just a great opportunity to get up and spend as much time as we can understanding the where to strategies from Microsoft. We also get to spend quite a lot of time with the country management from Microsoft as well, which is a big positive, getting as much personal time with them.
Yeah.
And from a distribution perspective, there's obviously a reasonably large contingent of our reseller community here as well, so it gives us a good opportunity to spend time with a number of them.
Right, so sort of dual benefits there.
There's a lot of benefits there, absolutely.
Yeah, that's excellent. Now, in terms of what you've heard so far, there's obviously new things that we're hearing about in terms of the cloud. What are the things that have stood out for you so far?
I think we've heard a lot about the cloud prior to coming here, but the thing that probably stands out is just how focused Microsoft is on moving their partners and their customers, their whole community, getting behind moving everything to the cloud. So the push on 365 is huge. And so that's probably an area of a little bit of surprise in terms of the speed with which they're looking to go there. Totally understand why they do that. It's a great opportunity for a lot of our Tier 2 resellers who have never had exposure to that part of the marketplace before. It's an area they can probably fast start in. So I think there'll be a lot of that. And then those that are specialising or niche partners, integrators that are doing work around the likes of Lincoln, that there seems to be a huge amount of pressure there too. And I know Microsoft have got a pretty strong goal to be number one by about 2014 is what I understand. So there's also a lot of adjacent sort of messages around cloud and Link, which has been quite interesting too.
So what does cloud mean to you for distis overall? Is it a good or bad thing, or sort of mixed thing?
I think there's a lot of, and that's part of the reason why we're really here as well, is to sort of understand how that's going to work for distis. The Microsoft distribution sessions talked about the need for continuing two tier, three tier market go-to-market models. Mm-hmm. So trying to understand how that works, given the current procure model is through Microsoft, and then not a mandatory process back through reseller to distie yet either. So there's a lot of, as I understand, already 40% of the people that have gone to cloud in New Zealand marketplace didn't tick a reseller on there on the process of going there.
It's a direct model, basically.
Yeah. It's not a direct model. There's no difference in cost for them at all.
Yeah.
But they haven't ticked the box that says this is the reseller. If they don't tick the reseller, then no one's ticking the distie.
that's somewhat at odds, isn't it, with what we heard yesterday from Steve Ballmer saying, oh look, you know, as far as I'm concerned, 100% of the business we're doing is through the partner channel. And then actually when we look at the business being done today on new stuff, there's a fairly large chunk in the cloud that is bypassing that entirely.
Yep. There's a discussion on the current test deploy model using SKUs in the US through the channel,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be, you know, watching when we can get more information about it. Haven't seen any of that yet. So that would be a positive outcome in terms of SKUs through the channel in the normal process. I think the other challenges for the reseller and the distiller are the revenue becomes the fee you get from Microsoft as opposed to the revenue you would have seen through too. So depending on how you track your business, sometimes people, you know, who might have been a $5-6 million business are suddenly going to be quite a bit smaller, you know, if they've got a large proportion of Microsoft licensing.
So what would you like to see Microsoft doing to fix for you guys, especially what would be the nirvana you'd like to see them come out with?
Well, I think for us there's a lot of mandatory tick of the reseller and distributor would be good. I mean, at least we know that's a commit to channel, so that would be probably the big thing.
And I guess everyone who's buying a product, they, you know, probably 99.9% of cases have a relationship with a partner of some sort.
I think they would certainly on the first buy process, and then if they are looking to do anything niche wise, they're going to have one ongoing. So the challenge is, what happens to the years 2 and 3? Do they stay with the person who sold the first time? Does it get moved? There's a lot of uncertainty around how easy that is. The customer can change every year. The customer can change any time. The reseller can change yearly. So there's different things as well. There's a whole lot of criteria still being worked out. Some of the other challenges is at a disti level is because we're doing the open value stuff. Is there's no roadmap for where people are going between now and cloud. There's no one talking about what if they don't go to cloud in 3 years' time, what's going to be there. Yeah. So no reason to sign a software
assurance. What's the on-premise option?
There's no software assurance. Well, you can sign software assurance, but what are you signing for?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of uncertainty about that. So people are going, well, there's no point signing it. I'll just wait. And that's a problem, because a problem for Microsoft and for the channel.
Stalls the whole.
They're stalling everything.
So is the big problem around Office 365, or is it the whole cloud model, including Azure and everything else?
No, I think the cloud model is inevitable.
Yeah.
So I think it's really more about currently just probably uncertainty on the actual financial model in terms of how do we truly get recognised? What's the true value? There's been a lot of discussions around breakdowns of revenue and margin models under the cloud, but no comparison against an old model to a new model.
Yep.
Because there's already existing revenues and existing renewal revenues and existing services revenue, but are they bigger or smaller? I think in reality the revenue is going to be less, but the opportunity has been touted as much bigger. So the currently uncaptured market becomes massively capturable, which is the SMB piece, which is the play that Microsoft are really pressing hard here to the reseller and distie community. Is the real dollars might be smaller, but there's going to be a lot more of them.
So it's quantity, basically, of the number of deals versus the actual each deal being huge, basically.
Yep, cloud enabling reach, I think, is the real underlying message. It's just a matter of, will it be realised? And you know, certainly Microsoft are committed to win the battle.
It's the model that comes through.
yeah.
All right, well, thanks for your time on that, Stu. It's good to hear a little bit of your perspective. Anything else that you want to add in terms of what you've seen here and you know, the value you found in coming along?
Oh, look, I think it's been good so far from a networking perspective. I've got opportunities to get together with my own global business, so we've got an Ingram Micro AP meeting this afternoon as well. Great. So there's some opportunities for businesses that are multinational to get together. I know some of the other blokes have got together with their corporates as well, and then just seen some of the other cool stuff, the Windows Phone 7, things like that. So you managed to get my wife one of those. So
oh, you did buy one,
picked
did
up
you?
A phone, picked up an Omni. So
got some good deals here.
Incredible price on that, you know, $375 US, and yeah, just not, you're not going to get it in the NZ. So that was good too. So, you know, and I'm getting text messages from everyone about which stand was that from. So there's been a few Kiwis coming back with Windows phones, I think. So that'll
excellent,
be
excellent.
The Microsoft boys will be happy.
Yeah,
oh, that's good. And so you think you'll be back again for 2012?
Oh, I think we'll probably be back. And certainly there'll be representatives from Ingram. And, you know, that's just a great opportunity to spend time with the partners and the Microsoft management and then do some other networking with the Microsoft internationally. So we'll be back.
Excellent. All right. Oh, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
Cool.
Thanks, sir.
Cheers.
We're now going to cut over to an interview we did with a leading New Zealand partner that's attending Microsoft's WPC.
Excellent. Let's get into it.
So we're here with Jeremy Hunt from FishEye in Auckland. You're a Microsoft Gold partner, is that right?
Not on the competency list right now.
But you've been a Gold partner, right?
Been a Gold partner previous.
Competency changes have probably impacted that a little bit recently.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
How are you finding those competency changes? Are they frustrating, or what do you?
Look, I think from the SMB angle, there's certainly probably a lack of a pathway, but we're working through that. So change is afoot. Otherwise, I guess, you know, part of the good stuff that we've got here is some of the engagement with the MPN network, how you can actually get yourself back on track. Quite like the pinpoint stuff as well. Pinpoint, they'll help you write your profile, really kind of just helping you get the job done.
Yeah, it's well worthwhile sort of coming just for those connections, right? Getting those bits of helping hands here at the conference. I found that last year too.
So from the pinpoint side, from putting my Microsoft hat on now, for the virtualization website, we've been the first site in New Zealand to integrate pinpoint, and I cannot emphasize enough how key it is for partners to have their pinpoint profile, because when you search on virtualization through pinpoint, those top partners are the ones that get the lead. So for partners out there, it's really, really important to have that pinpoint, and then the competencies help back up the statements and referrals. But yeah,
hopefully that'll turn into something. You can go in there and look up your stats, and I've noticed the stats are, at the moment, you know, they don't reflect a whole lot of hits or anything. I mean, you know, pretty close to zero. But, you know, we've heard of American partners getting a bit of business that way. So, yep. You know, I think in the future that may well change.
Oh, will change.
It's definitely worth getting on there. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, I think they're pretty helpful with that stuff here.
You've got to be in to win, right?
So tell us, Jeremy, what are the things you've got out of the sessions you've been to today?
So today, I guess, day two, look, it's always good to see a few gadgets. It's always good to get an update on the formats, the new gear that's arriving. But probably overall, it's just actually, I guess, 3 years in, you're also getting a pretty clear sense of the strategy now. You're also getting a sense of how fast things are moving and how far that strategy is along the path. So I think it's pretty good after 3 years to see it coming together.
Are you positive about the strategy, or what's your feelings about it?
I think that the biggest challenge I'm seeing is the speed. And
what, too fast, too slow?
Too slow in terms of there's a whole lot to do. I mean, completely understand there's not really a stack that compares to it in terms of all the different integration points. But as a result, there's all the integration points, and that just takes time. So progress, definitely positive. Looking forward to Windows 8.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking forward to Windows 8. You wouldn't find too many that are
the only people
that are suggesting that be held up.
The only people that don't want Windows 8 are the Apple fanboys at the moment, I think. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Good. And, you know, what sort of things have you've learned today?
So I guess, look, we revisited the Office 365 launch. It's always good to kind of pick up another couple of things that you perhaps didn't see in your local market. I think that, you know, one of the other key takeaways is the carrots and the incentives and the various channel programs that are starting to be filtered into the whole partner network. So again, some of those things you probably won't hear. If you weren't here, you wouldn't hear them for another 12 months. So even if they're not in your local market right now, a lot of them do end up trickling down. So I guess just being early to a lot of those messages and before they get watered down.
Yeah, it's good to be aware of those things up front. And, you know, one of the things I find, you know, representing a small partner myself, our firm Gorilla, we want to stay at the forefront of what's happening, but you get so busy during the year, you know, taking care of all of your bits and pieces, running your business, that you don't always catch up with those things. And here you've just got that absolute intensity of hearing the messages around all the products and so on. And it really does help you set your strategy and so on for the year ahead by hearing those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, the sessions, I think the more you come here, you find yourself, you're not running as much to every session to catch every last piece of information. You can catch up on that, but you really got to make the most of some of those expo areas, some of the links and connects that are available to meet and greet people. I think it's probably just, like I say, slowly coming together with some right pieces. But in terms of the excitement piece, you know, the whole, obviously, tiles, you're seeing the same kind of styling everywhere across the whole group. So, I don't want to say it too much, but look forward to the next sort of 6-12 months.
The consistency of the messaging, I think, is what we're hearing from a lot of partners at the moment. I think Paul and I talked in the podcast last night, is that even in the slide decks, you see that they're using a tile-based system. So it's, you know, as Steve Barmer said, it's, you know, little screen, medium screen, big screen, and you're starting to see that. And if you as partners are picking that up, then that's great. Then the message is being delivered to the partner community, which is good.
Yeah. I think that's quite a change for Microsoft, because it's really, you know, we're seeing a real visual style. We're seeing something that's being designed. It's, it looks really good, and that's, you know, traditionally, Apple's sort of been the cool, sort of stylish, brand in terms of the way they represent themselves. But it's, you know, it's great to see that consistency and sort of style coming across.
Probably the biggest thing, I think, where I saw that style today was actually through the Link demos, and actually seeing right from the desktop. You know, again, Brad, the big screen, the small screen, the medium screen, whether it was the PC, whether it was the smartphone, whether it was the touch whiteboard, right through to actually looking at how Xbox Kinect is going to arrive in the business space and has applications, is going to have the Link integration as well. So pretty consistent, and that's just one product.
Yeah. So have you spent much time in the marketplace at all?
Yeah, I've spent a bit of time in the marketplace, mainly around the pieces that are helping our business grow. So the pinpoints, the partner networks. I briefly went to some of the application sites today. Definitely a bunch of cloud providers out there.
We've seen a lot of cloud providers, a lot more than what I think we've been exposed to in New Zealand. I think a lot of Intune and just private cloud, public cloud, well, more private cloud-based people out there. So.
And we're seeing that that's growing in New Zealand too, aren't we, in terms of those other sort of providers for private cloud infrastructure and so on.
Yeah, most definitely.
Which is growing,
So, I mean, over the next few days, we've still got two more days to go. Well, what are the key things that you'd like to see delivered? I mean, we've got Kevin Turner tomorrow, then the wrap-up on Thursday. So what else do you want to get out of the next few days?
So I guess the next few days, I always quite like Kevin's session. It always has a bit of upbeat, quite fast and aggressive, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And that's always quite a buzz at the end of it. Other kind of sessions I've got to really just looking at more of the cloud side of things, perhaps how the Azure side affects us or will affect us, and finally, focused on the SMB space. So there's a whole track here dedicated to SMB, and I'll be attending a few of those sessions too.
Good, and looking forward to hearing Sir Richard Branson on Thursday.
Oh, of course. I think probably most people's little entrepreneurial dream to read the books, heard the story, see him in person. It'll be great. It'll be probably inspiring, and probably actually an interesting thing I haven't mentioned. The one thing I did think at the start of the conference, there was a hole in, for those that watched the keynote session, I actually thought for the first time ever, I thought, oh, this is for Microsoft. There's almost a bit of style here going on, you know? This is pretty scary.
We said the same thing, that it wasn't Steve Barmer jumping around putting on a show. It was Steve Barmer actually telling us something that we could actually take away. And it was very different, that you actually got value. It wasn't, you know what I mean? He wasn't entertaining you. He was informing us.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you've come across that as well. It's obviously something beyond what we've picked up, which is great to see.
Good. All right. Thanks for joining us on the NZ Tech Podcast.
No worries.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So Paul, you managed to get into the Intune session this afternoon. Do you want to just tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so what they've just announced is that Intune 2.0 is now available in a beta form. Now this is one of Microsoft's newest cloud offerings. Became available just a few months before Office 365. And what it is a cloud-based management toolset for managing PCs and laptops. At the moment, it doesn't handle servers just yet. It is purely Windows-based, so no ability to sort of manage, you know, other platforms like Macs and so on. But for those environments that fit that mix, it looks as though this new version is going to be quite good. They haven't, again, confirmed sort of a release date, but the fact that it's in beta now, I'd imagine it's only a few months off. I'd like to think it'll be out this year that we would see this new version of Intune. And the current version comes with some capabilities around software, you know, distribution of updates and so on. And the new version brings software distribution both of Microsoft software and of third-party applications. So it's quite interesting. Effectively, they give you an Azure-based cloud storage where you can put up the apps for installation and then push those out down to workstations via the cloud.
So would a lot of businesses want to adopt this at the moment, or would you recommend they actually wait till version maybe 3 comes out if it can't manage servers?
Yeah, I think, you know, organisations are going to have differing requirements, but it is one of those new new products that's, you know, obviously iterating reasonably quickly, because we've just seen a version released in March. They've now got another version on the way. I don't think we'll probably gain mainstream adoption until probably a little bit further down the track. But as organisations move to the cloud and move away from having management infrastructure and other sort of infrastructure on premises, as they move to the likes of Office 365, then tools like this are going to become really essential to the business. I'm certainly hopeful that they fill in some of those gaps around server support, support for other systems, because it's quite common within even small businesses to have some Macs in the environment and other bits and pieces. So let's hope that sort of stuff comes along. But for those that are interested, it's worth having a look and getting your hands on the beta and giving it a try.
It's going to be interesting to see how partners actually embrace this and actually build up a services capability around it, because obviously you can go out, customers can buy this in the cloud right now, but if partners actually pull together a proper services management model around this, you can actually make a lot, you can actually have annuity revenue coming through, real easy for people to make money out of, and also easy for the IT pros. They can set up using a nice portal to manage and deploy software and do inventory and stuff like that. So
that's right, yeah. And what we heard from a large portion of the session was taken up by partners that have already started using it with their customers. The interesting thing we heard was that these partners are making it part of a sort of a managed services offering, so the customer is never actually billed for the product by Microsoft. The partner is getting billed for it. They're working that into their management fee. So that's quite an interesting take on handling that. It'll be interesting to see how different organisations adopt that and how it works covering the bases. One of the partners was saying they use the System Center range of products already, and they use this sort of as a little bit of an adjunct to that. So it doesn't, they're saying at this stage it doesn't replace it. What we're hearing from Microsoft is longer term, this offering would be something that would replace the System Center tools that we use today on premises. So yeah, it's quite an interesting one to see. But yeah, it certainly is in its early stages, and I think it will take some time before it reaches that widespread adoption.
Awesome. Now, while we're over here, obviously, it's a huge conference. There's about 15 or 16,000 people here, but there are a lot of Kiwis floating around here. Obviously, the ones that come over from WPC, but there's also local Kiwis out here on the market floor. Now, Now, I met up with a gentleman called Josh Gibbs from New Zealand. He's actually developing for Guava Software at the moment. They do anti-spam, anti-virus protection, cyber crime protection, outbound protection. And what you tend to find around, you walk around, and for such a small country, there are just Kiwis everywhere doing amazing things in international companies. And you know, the guys at Guava were really interesting to talk to. And as soon as they heard my accent, they went, "We've got one of you in our place." And it was
really?
And it's really interesting that we stand out, and we definitely punch above our weight. And it was great talking to Josh and the team over there at Guava just about what they've been doing and some of the products. But seeing these guys develop from New Zealand, it's really good. Now, we're going to try and catch some other people tomorrow that are doing some international work. We hope to catch up with the help desk people. Help me out here, Paul. Skip, we might need to enter that part out. Part two. And hopefully we'll be able to interview some of the more local partner from the APAC Awards. Now, the APAC Awards are going to be presented by Kevin Turner tomorrow, and we'll hopefully have some interviews with some of our local New Zealand winners after that session.
Yeah, that sounds great. There certainly is a lot of Kiwis that we've come across, and I even noticed the same last year, you know, just bumping into people that, "Oh, you're from New Zealand?" "Yeah, I'm from New Zealand too," or "I'm working with somebody else who's a Kiwi." And it's great to see, New Zealanders that are really doing well on an international basis. So, yeah,
cool. All right, so WPC will be day three tomorrow. We've got a really busy schedule tomorrow. Lots of partner interviews happening. It's been a really busy day. We'll give you an update from the marketplace. We've been a bit busy today to go around the marketplace, so there's a lot of new technology there. We'll hopefully walk around, give you a bit of an appraisal. We'll give maybe some interviews from some of the vendors here, and we'll give you an update from tomorrow.
Yeah. So thanks very much for listening into this special edition of the New Zealand Tech Podcast. Of course, you can find us online, nztechpodcast.com, our Twitter handle being nztechpodcast, and on facebook.com/nztechpodcast. So we look forward to catching up with you soon, whether that's on our next episode or catching you online. If you've got any questions, do feel free to send us a message via Twitter or one of those other channels. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thanks very much. I'm super excited.